Welcome to the FT Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25 Pacific Standard Time. And with only 3 weeks left to go for the Sydney seminar, I'm greatly looking forward to heading across the Pacific and meeting a number of subscribers. Now, to look at what we're looking at or what's happening in the markets today, there are a number of key points, and just to summarize, the Nikkei was stronger by 2.5%. That follows on yesterday's weakness in the yen and additional strength for the US dollar, not just against the yen, but against a whole slew of other currencies. In Europe today, the banking sector was particularly firm, and what we're seeing is that the banks have actually returned to a position of outperformance relative to the wider market, and are on a relative basis, the Eurostox Banks Index is breaking out of what looks like a 2-year base against the Stock 600 index. So the outperformance of the banking sector is something that we look for at Fuller Money, the former Fuller Money and the new FT Money, as something that is very positive from the perspective of the ability of the market to continue to rally. And since the banks almost resulted in the collapse of the euro and required such a huge effort, not only on behalf of the ECB, but also governments and consumers to save the banks, that the fact that they are now moving to a position of outperformance really is very supportive of the idea that Europe is in recovery mode. And it might not feel like that for people living in a number of those peripheral countries, but what we are seeing is that the fiscal consolidation has repaired the balance sheets of these banks, and that they are now in a much better position than they were just a couple of years ago. When we look at the US, the Nasdaq was stronger today by about 0.75%, and the S&P up by about 0.5%. This has been really an emphatic bounce back from weakness on Monday and late last week. And when we look at the Nasdaq 100 and the fact that it has been such an outperformer, we're presented with really a very consistent advance where there's a step sequence of ranges one above another, and those ranges are relatively similar sized. So when we look at it on a weekly basis, we see that there's an increasing overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. But on a daily basis, it remains really quite a consistent advance, and therefore quite easy to monitor from the perspective of its consistency. Really, a break in the progression of higher reaction lows, a larger pullback, or an acceleration of the trend would represent major inconsistencies, and at present we haven't had any of those. So while it is a reasonably steep advance, then the factors that are driving it are relatively unchanged. Now, the banking sector in the US has been performing more or less in line with the wider market for much of the last few years. What we are now seeing is that some of the banks that had been most acutely affected by the credit crisis, and not least because they were so heavily involved in mortgage originations, are also now starting to recover. And the fact that you had Bank of America coming out today with 4 times its anticipated profit is really quite positive. But it also raises the possibility that companies like Bank of America and Citigroup, which have been sitting on a dividend of 1 cent since 2009, maybe getting back into a position where they might be able to increase those dividends. And when we compare them to other major banks, such as Wells Fargo or JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs, then the potential for their dividends to grow at a similar rate is probably quite a good bet. And it would suggest that there's a potential re-rating of some of these banks with very low dividends when they start to paying them out once more. And when profits are appreciating by such a margin, then pressure from investors to begin to start to return capital is likely to rise in here. Now, with the U.S. stock market among the better performers, and with the banking sector improving, and the housing recovery is still very much intact, then the US dollar remains a recovery candidate. And of course, the currency markets are all about relative performance, and in the currency markets you attempt to match the strongest with the weakest. Last year the euro was really quite firm, and it's been giving up much of its advance from last year in the last couple of weeks. So the euro today was down by 73 points, and having tested the 140 area late last year, it's down to 136.06. And the pound, which had got up towards the 164-165 region in the latter half of last year, has also been pulling back here. And there are key reversals evident for the pound over the last couple of weeks, evident across a number of those cross rates. So it would suggest that the rally that has been ongoing for sterling over the last 3 or 4 months is at least due for consolidation in here. Whereas the yen, which had been largely range-bound against the US dollar for much of the latter half of last year, has been pushing, or the dollar's been pushing above the 100 yen to the dollar region, and continues to look like that 100 yen to the dollar is a new support area for the US dollar. It would suggest also that the Japanese are still very much committed to weakening their currency, and any substantial strength is being met with quite impressive downward dynamics. So they're not going to allow their currency to strengthen, and fighting the central bank when they have so categorically stated that they want to weaken their currency is generally not a very good idea. The rand is among the weakest currencies in the world at present, and there are consistent upward trends for both the euro, the pound, or the US dollar against it. And where these trends differ from previous spikes in the rand is that is in their consistency. So the rand had spiked lower in 2000 and 2001, and it spiked lower again during the credit crisis. But its deterioration over the last 2 years has been very measured, very consistent, and it would suggest that we're probably entering a period where a weaker rand is likely to be an attractive prospect for the South African economy for probably the foreseeable future. So while the trend in its deterioration remains consistent, there's no indication that it has yet ended. And when it does eventually end, then the likelihood of it getting back to the position of strength that we saw in the last decade is probably reasonably unlikely at this stage. When we look at the South African stock market, then it's benefiting from the weakness of the currency in nominal terms. But in US dollar terms, the Johannesburg All Share has been largely range-bound for nearly 5 years. That would suggest that when the rand eventually does bottom, that it's likely to represent an attractive investment from the perspective of a foreign investor. But at the present time, while the nominal price appreciation is attractive from a foreign investor's perspective, the currency is likely to play a very important role. And that's a theme that's likely to have to play out across a whole range of different markets over the coming decade. In the decade from 2000 all the way through to 2012, what we were presented with was, by and large, a US dollar that was trending lower. And that made the vast majority of emerging markets attractive from the perspective of a foreign investor, where you had appreciating currencies and the potential for capital appreciation. Well, if the US economy is the first of the major economies to exit its period of extraordinary monetary accommodation and continues to on a relative strength basis outperform in the growth category, then the potential for the dollar to have bottomed versus a number of currencies has increased really quite substantially. And that would suggest that foreign investors are going to have to pay much, much closer attention to the performance of currencies in the next decade than they did in the last decade. Gold today, despite the fact that the dollar was really quite firm against the majority of currencies, was only down by about $4. And this $1,200 area represents an area of support, and we're starting to see that gold is continuing to build support in this $1,180 to $1,200 area. What we have also started to see is that people are beginning to talk their books, and I've seen a number of really very bearish reports on gold over the last few weeks, and people saying that a move down to at least 1,000 is inevitable. Well, it's certainly possible, but whether it's inevitable is very much an open question. And the chart, the evidence from the pricing would suggest that $1,200 is where we're starting to see some support coming back. If gold is ranging here at $1,200, the gold miners were a bit more positive in here today, and they've had an awful lot of the excess squeezed out of them, and it was the worst performing sector on the S&P last year and among the best performers so far this year. So gold is cheap at reasonably cheap at $1,200, and the gold miners, if gold is going to hold in this $1,000 to $1,200 area, then the gold miners also represent a cheap sector. With Indonesia banning the export of ore, we're also starting to see that in the industrial metal complex, prices have fallen for a number about as far as they're likely to. And that's particularly the case with zinc, which has broken out of its base, and nickel, which is being supported directly by that ban on exports by Indonesia. That also supports tin. So the potential for the industrial metal miners to be in a bottoming phase here is also really quite a strong possibility. And that would also suggest that when people are starting to look around for bargains, that if we start to see fundamental strength coming into some of the commodity prices, then the related shares are represent catch-up potential. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.